When I was in high school, I drove a car that was handed down from my older brothers and sisters. The first person to drive it in our family was my oldest sister, Malia. And she wrecked the car, and so they put a new fender on it, but the fender was of a different color. It was a yellow car, but it had a green fender. And then it went to my other sister, Lynn, who really didn't really tear it into the ground too much, but then it went to my brothers, Brad and Mike, and they thought that it was a sports car. But it wasn't. It was a Chevrolet Vega. Do you remember the Chevy Vegas? And they went through 3 oil pans on that car. And my brother Brad hated the car so much, he ended up getting a VW bug. My brother drove the car until it was inherited by my sister, who drove it for a couple years, and then it finally came to me. By the time I got this car, folks, it was on its last leg of its journey, okay? It had different color paint. It had different body parts. It was on its 10th oil pan. It was on its second engine. And you'll remember those old aluminum engines that they had in those Chevy Vegas. Every time I would go fill up the car, I would put in gas, and then I would put in a whole entire quart of motor oil into the top of it. So when I would go to school, I was known as the guy that drove the Chevy Vega. That's what I was known as. And everybody knew the Chevy Vega, and everybody knew that that was the car that I drove, because you're known for the car you drive, right? My best friend Bill called it the Pit of Sweat, because it did not have air conditioning. One time, we had a pizza party, and we made the pizzas, and somebody threw onions into the back hatchback, and it kind of worked their way in. That car smelled like onions for about 2 years. It was horrible. And so it was the stinky pit of sweat is what I called it, because I took my friend. That's what I was known for, was that car. Because you're known for the car you drive, right? You're known, a lot of people spend a lot of time and energy and money into making sure they have the right car so that they know that people, this is the car that I drive, because it says something about you. When you get to the end of your life, are you going to be known for the car you drive? Or are you going to be known for something else? When you get to the end of life, are you going to say, well, I got to drive a Chevy Vega or a whatever car it is? Or are you going to be known for something else when you get to the end of your life? Well, today we're going to talk about somebody who's at the end of their life. And actually, we're at the end of our sermon series also. We started 11 weeks ago into the book of Joshua. 11 weeks ago. And we've gone through the whole entire saga of Joshua's life. And now we get to the final last 2 chapters of Joshua. And he is an old man. And he's about ready to pass from this life into the presence of God. And as he does so, he decides that he's not going to be known for his car, because cars weren't known back then. He is going to be known for something else. And so he gathers the whole entire nation of Israel to him, and he speaks to them. Now, if you were in your last breath, what is it that you share with those people? Well, Joshua decided to share from our lesson this morning, Joshua 24, verse 15. He says, "Choose this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua says, he brings the people together and he says, now remember, God brought us out of the wilderness area. He brought us into the promised land. Remember how he was with us as we conquered the battle of Jericho and Ai and all these other nations. Remember how God was faithful. Remember that God was with us. Remember the land that he brought us. Remember the great things, the great blessings that he brought us. But as we get to the end of your life, it has nothing to do about that. It is about you, and will you choose the other gods, or will you choose the one true God, and will you let your house serve God? And that was the message that Joshua wanted to give to the people. And that's the message we're going to look at this morning, because God wants you to choose who will you serve. It is a choice that you need to make in your life. Who will you serve? Will you serve the God of the Amorites, who no longer exist, but they exist in a different form today, or will you serve the one true God? And there is no choosing in between. You either serve the one or you serve the other. There's a story that's told by Pavarotti when he was a kid. And when Pavarotti was a kid, he loved music, but he didn't know if he wanted to be a musician or if he wanted to be a teacher. And so he decided, as he went through life, that he would study both things. He was a teacher And he studied from one of the premier musicians in Italy, where he was from. And when he got through, he decided to go to school, and so he went into college, and he got a training as a teacher. But then as he got out, he wasn't sure if he wanted to be a teacher or if he wanted to be a musician, a singer. And he thought, well, maybe I can do both. Maybe I could be a singer on the part-time and a teacher part-time, and I can do both of those. And his father said to him, Pavarotti, he said, life is like two chairs. And you either sit in one chair or you sit in the other chair. But if you sit in the middle between the two chairs, you're going to fall. And so you need to choose which one it is you're going to sit in. Are you going to sit in this chair or are you going to sit in that chair? And Pavarotti said, it was at that point that I realized that if I really was going to make it as a musician, I needed to put away the teaching and I needed to study music full time, which he did. It took him 7 years before he got his first concert. And then it took another 7 years until he got to the Metropolitan Opera. And he said, Pavarotti said, the thing I learned about that from my father is that you always have two chairs and you need to pick one chair to sit in. God says before you, there's only two choices. There's only two ways you can go about this, folks. You can either have one chair that you're going to sit in, which is my chair, the holy chair you serve me, or it is something else that you're serving. And in your life, which chair are you sitting in? Are you sitting in the chair that's serving God, or are you sitting in this chair that's not serving God? Because those are the only two chairs that are in this world. And God wants you to sit in the one chair. He wants you to have total obedience to Him. Totally have Him in front of your life. That's what God calls us to do. And it's a very difficult thing. You know, some people come up with a mission statement that says, this is when I get to the end of my life, this is what I'm going to be. This is what I want to be. God wants to be at the head of your mission statement. He wants every aspect of your life to be about Him. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to become a monk or a nun or something like that. But it does mean that somehow you tie in every aspect and element in your life to see, how am I serving God? How am I making Him ahead of my life? And sadly, we don't do that very well, do we? No, as a matter of fact, we do a poor job of that. And especially in today's world, we have so many things that we're interested in, so many different directions that we're going. There's so much stuff out there, culture that we let infiltrate our life, that we do a very, very poor job. But God never abandons us. We don't necessarily always put Him at the peak of our life, but He puts Himself right smack dab in the middle of our life. Seek who you will serve. Who you will serve. Did you hear that from Joshua? He wants us to serve God. He wants us to wake up in the morning and serve Him. That's the whole reason why we're in existence, is to serve Him. I can't tell you how many times I've seen people's lives that are messed up, and it's because the root of it is because they're not serving God. And how many times by serving God you can change your life around. Serving God is so important. We were created to serve God. Do you know that? We were created to serve Him. And if you're not serving Him, things are not going well in your life, it's because you're not doing as you were created to do. We were created to serve God. There's a story that's told about an aqueduct. In Segovia, Spain, it's an aqueduct, and it was built in 109 BC, and it brought water from the mountains of Segovia into that dry, bitter town, that dry, dusty town. It was built in 109 BC, and for 1,800 years, that water came in from the mountains and served the town. And in the 1950s, they decided that it was time to give up the aqueduct. And so instead, the church people decided that they were going to bring the water from the mountains, they were going to put in piping, and they were going to bring the water into the town, and that's how they were going to get their water. And they shut off the water to the aqueduct. As soon as they shut off the water to the aqueduct, it started to crumble and decay. Because the aqueduct was meant to serve water, and as soon as they took the water out of it, it was no longer doing what it was meant to do. And the dry sun came and started baking away. It's not built with concrete. It's built with a sort of a clay and rocks. And without the water, it started to immediately decay. They had to go back and do a lot of repairs. We were created to serve God. And if we don't serve God, we decay. Another story is told about Paganini, the great violinist Paganini. And he decided that he was going to will his violin, his prized violin, to Genoa, the city that he was born in. but it had one condition. He said, I will give you this violin, but I was the greatest violin player, and nobody else can play this violin. Well, that violin had a certain type of wood that it was not cared for and loved and touched and played. It would soon decay. And so they put it as a museum piece, and very, very shortly after that, it began to decay until the violin became almost completely useless. It was meant to be played. You were meant to be played. You were meant to serve God. And if you're not serving God, you're not doing as God calls you to do. God wants you to serve Him. He created you to serve Him. That's the greatest joy you'll have in life, is to serve Him. Do you serve God? Do you wake up in the morning and say, God, how can I serve you this morning? What can I do for you? What can I do that's outside of me that serves you and your kingdom? And see, we fail in that also. But our God never fails. He came as a servant into this world to be a perfect servant, to always serve, so that He could save us and redeem us from the times that we don't serve Him. Choose this day whom you will serve. But then Joshua says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It wasn't just him, but it was whole entire house. Joshua said, for generations, this house would serve God. Does your house serve God? When people come into your house, do they know that you are a house that serves God? Or do they see that you serve a whole lot of different things? Because God wants you to serve him. He wants you to be like Joshua. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to become a monk, and it doesn't mean you have to become a nun. But what it means is that God is the center point of your house. Is God the center point of your house? Because your kids, your friends, your community, they watch, they see who is at the center of your house. And little kids can see who's at the center of your house. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you're always doing everything for God, but that they see everything that they do. And are you tying that into God? There's a poem that was written that I'll put up on the screen by a lady who said this about young kids. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you hang up my first painting on the refrigerator, and I wanted to paint another one. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you feed a stray cat, and I thought it was good to be kind to animals. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you make my favorite cake for me, and I knew that little things are special things. When you thought I wasn't looking, I heard you say a prayer, and I believe there's a God I could always talk to. When you thought I wasn't looking, I felt you kiss me goodnight, and I felt loved. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw that you cared, and I wanted to be everything that I could be. When you thought I wasn't looking, I looked, and wasn't to say thanks, and I wanted to say thanks for all the things I saw when you thought I wasn't looking. Who do you serve in your house? What do your kids see? Do you serve God? Joshua did. I would have loved to have met Joshua. I think he was a phenomenal leader. When you look at the story that we've looked at, he was there in Egypt with the people of Egypt. He saw God rescue them through Moses and Aaron to come across the sea. He saw them wander in the wilderness for 40 days, and then he took control, and he was a great leader. He was also a great military commander, but all of that meant nothing unless in his house he served the Lord. And that's what God's calling us today, is to serve him. Do you serve him in your house? He wants to be there. He's always there. In Jesus' name, amen.